Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hey, this is Matt Halloran with Kirk Lowe again. We're going to talk today about referrals. On our last podcast, we spent a little bit of time talking about the difference between a lot of different things, actually, selling versus marketing. And as we were talking about sales versus marketing, we found out that, well, as simple as it can be, is really referrals is still a huge aspect of what financial advisors do, but we both felt that they weren't doing it correctly. So, Kirk, today we're going to talk about referrals. How are you, sir?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
So I love talking about referrals because I think it's one of those things that is, you know, everybody knows it's so integral to their practice. Every advisor I've ever talked to feels like they should be getting way more referrals. Mm-hmm. And the people who focus on referrals, I don't think they do it. They don't do it the way I would do it. And I don't think they do it right by advisors. I think they're very production oriented, which is a good thing.
Sure.
But I don't think it's in the best interest of how you need to market these days, and it's not in the best interest of building long-term relationships.
Well, so break that down. So let's chat about that. So you told a story the last time, and it was like Jack, John, and Jeremy or something like that, right? So let's talk about those people again and how those interactions happen when it comes to referrals specifically.
Look, Matt, I can't remember the names of my four kids. So I don't know how I'm going to remember the names of
Just make up new names from our last podcast. The important thing is the premise of the story, not the names of the people you're using. So
I'm going to keep the story, make it as short as I can. So just think about when you're speaking to your neighbor and you want to introduce your advisor, and you understand that your neighbor has an advisor already. So when you introduce them, you only want to do so if you feel proud. So that means that, you know, you have a reason to introduce them and you know how to introduce them. And probably the most important thing of all is when you do introduce them, that the person you introduce the advisor to, or they feel like when they see or when they hear about this person that they move forward with the clear instructions, which is, you know, go visit their website or download their paper, whatever, that they feel like they're different or better or more relevant. Because the thing that people, you know, don't want to do, and I think it's the biggest reason that more people don't refer you or refer advisors, is they feel like when they refer, they don't have a good place to refer to. In other words, your website's not very good. When people get there, your website doesn't make you seem any different than probably who they're already working with, and it doesn't make them look good. People refer because they want to do something nice for somebody. But if they don't feel like at the end of the day, you're going to feel like they did anything nice for them, they don't want to refer. It's really that simple. If you think about that with anything that you do, you want somebody to be really blown away with how good somebody is. And if you don't think it's going to make that kind of impression, mm-hmm. then you're not inclined to refer.
So by having good content, by having good things to hand off, to forward via email, is this how you're thinking that solves that problem, or dive into this a little deeper?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that you can inspire people to want to refer more. I don't think simply asking is the right way, because I think asking is presumptuous. For starters, that they want to, that they feel like you're any different. It puts them under pressure, especially it's kind of taking away equity from your long-term relationship, if that makes sense. So I've got some ideas I think that will inspire advisors, clients, and or centers of influence, or even prospects in some case, to refer more.
Hold on. Before you go there, I'm sorry to interrupt your mojo there, but what I'm hearing you say is – asking for referrals, especially as aggressively as advisors are taught at conferences and on webinars, you're saying that that potentially can damage long-term relationships.
Absolutely. I think that most people are quite discerning, and they understand that you're trying to forcefully leverage their relationship. And I think there's some people, I mean, you can soften it, but the truth is everybody knows when you're after them to make more money from their relationship. And even if you're doing an amazing job, there's always, even, and no matter how good you are, I think there's always going to be an awkwardness. You're always, I think, stealing equity. Now, if people refer and you knock it out of the park for all these people, and, you know, then that's a different story, right? I mean, but you have to really knock it out of the park. But it's still, you know, asking is not comfortable for the advisor, not comfortable for the client. And I think you got to be really fabulous at it to make it work. But I think the surefire way to do this mm-hmm. is to build a better foundation for getting referrals on the clients or the centers of influence's terms.
All right. So what's that foundation?
The first thing is you need to earn it. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. Well, I think it does, but I think there's probably plenty of advisors who are, you know, there's going to be, if we think about advisors as above average, average, or below average, I mean, you know, there's going to be enough. Clearly, there's going to be people that are below average of what other advisors offer, and some who are average, and then people who are above average. And I think if you're average or below average, you don't. It seems tough to be able to say you're not earning that right. But compared to other what advisors are doing for their clients, I think that's a fair thing to say.
I agree.
So you need to be able to earn it, and you need to be able to have a lot of value in service. The next thing you need to do is you need to make it really easy for people to refer you. You know, if a referral to your neighbor is, well, you should call them or email them. Come on, that's not, I mean, that's, yes, that's easy, but it's not as easy. It's not as simple or easy or maybe as pointed as you should go listen to their podcast. You know, you should go download this paper, you know, about, you know, real estate versus investments, you know, because, you know, you're always talking about buying, you know, apartment buildings and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's all kinds of. So I think if you're very pointed and if you have a great website and they can just go to your website, that's the easiest thing of all. Make it easy for people to refer. The next thing, the third thing, I guess, is you need to remind people all the time. And reminding them doesn't necessarily mean calling them up and saying, hey, I haven't received a referral from you in 3 months. Just letting you know that I'm still around, breathing.
I have heard advisors do that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a good idea to have a reason to call, right? I mean, I've been reaching out to a bunch of, you know, Tactibrain clients recently because we've just launched our ACX service. I know that dates this podcast, but you know, and it's a good reason to call them because we got a tremendous amount of value in that service. And I find it really enjoyable to kind of reach out and, mm-hmm. you know, how you doing? And, you know, it's a good reason to talk to somebody, but, you know, there's probably better reasons.
I personally can't think of any right now, but that's all right.
Yeah. So reminding them, you know, a great way to remind people is to get them connected through you socially. So, and when they're in your circle of influence, they're constantly being made aware that you exist, that you're doing good things. I think social media is probably the easiest way to encourage and inspire referrals because it's easy to like or share something that you're putting out there into that space. Email is, you know, is still decent. Like people don't typically forward email and stuff like that. That used to seem like it was a big, you know, trendy thing to do, but I don't think it ever was. I think the marketers made it sound more trendy than it actually was. But definitely social sharing is a huge one. And the more interesting what you're doing is, the more likely it's going to be shared. Like a podcast might be more likely to get shared than a blog post, or a video might get more shared than a blog post or something like that. But a blog post is good too. So you just have to think about how you can stay top of mind with them. So the fourth one is the referrals need to be on their terms. If people can refer how they want to, they're more likely to refer. If it's always you saying, I need, you know, names and numbers and your relationship with these people, and I'm going to call them, or I need you to send out this letter or this email this way, I've pre-written it for you. You're making it easier and you're reminding them and you're asking, so it's on the radar. But I think sometimes it's nice to just be so amazing and make it so easy for people with all your great marketing, your brand, and all the cool stuff you do, like podcasting or video courses or, papers, checklists, all that kind of stuff for people to say, hey, you should go see my advisor's site. He's got some really cool stuff going on there. I think that's still, that's on their terms. They feel great about it. It's rewarding for them. And the people that they refer are going to be blown away at first sight because you've done a good job with your marketing. So that's that was number four. Number five, these are, ways to inspire more referrals from your clients. Five is you need to be clear about what will happen when someone does refer. This is something that could happen in a letter or an email or in a, or after a client meeting. Say, look, I love getting referrals from people. I'm not going to bug you by asking you all the time for them. But I do appreciate it. And I want you to understand that I love getting referrals. It's a, makes my job enjoyable and rewarding, financially rewarding as well. But I want you to understand that when you do refer somebody, that we have a very defined process in here. And I want you to understand what the process is. And here's all the items. If people can feel like when you refer somebody or they refer somebody, that something really special is going to happen and they're going to get treated incredibly well. You could even name that process, the red carpet, referral red carpet program, whatever you want to call it. That's not trademark. So go ahead. that's a good thing, right? So be clear what will happen when, with your clients when they do refer somebody. So that's number five. Number six is you need to be clear about the value that you provide. So that's your brand, your service offering. The more you can package and show people, your clients and then hopefully, people that they refer is by as much as you can articulating your value on your website and in the stuff you do. So if you've got like sample, investment policy statements or a video teaching them something, the clearer that you can articulate the value of the financial advisor and what they know or do, the better. That was number six. And number seven is you need to have a clear POD. This is probably one of the most important things of all.
Okay. And so what is a POD? Yeah. What is that?
POD is point of differentiation. And this is one of the things that I've been talking about for a lot of years in what I call branding is being able to articulate your point of differentiation. So if you work with blue collar business owners, right, and that's all you do, that's a pretty good, clear point of differentiation. They know exactly who to refer you. They know exactly why they're referring you. It makes it really easy for clients and prospects and centers of influence to be able to know that you're different. So the three things that determine a point of differentiation are that you're different. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. And the second one is that difference appears to be better. So, okay, you're different. That's great. But are you any better? Okay, what is better? And then, and the third one, and these kind of all build off each other. Mm-hmm. They're not exclusive of each other. The third one is relevant. So is what you are different at and better at, does that actually matter to me? And a great brand will accomplish those things. So really the point of differentiation is your brand. You have to have a strong brand point of differentiation so that when people get referred to you, they get referred to you in the right way. Imagine the conversation of one of your clients referring their neighbor. Hey, you should go work with Matt. He is he's exceptional, professional. He's trusting. He has a comprehensive, holistic service approach about him. He's always doing stuff in our best interests. And they're like, yeah, that sounds exactly like my guy. Because I don't know if I've ever met a financial advisor that didn't use those words to describe why they think they're different or better. So. What will be a lot better, and I give this example a lot because it's one of my favorites, is a client of ours, James Wilson, who is the brand 50 Wealth. So with James' brand, what he's all about is working with people in their 50s when they're working with possibilities versus in their 60s and on, which is probably working with probabilities. So he likes to work with people when they have possibilities, because he can make a real difference in their lives, in their financial plan, all those things, reaching their goals. So he actually only works with people in their 50s. Mm-hmm. If you're over 60, he turns those people away, because more often than not, or most of the time when they're coming to him, they're trying to get him to fix stuff that they've already made decisions on in their 50s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you just say it's triage?
It's like triage for him, right? I mean, so yeah, the people who are you know, 60 and above, they're coming to him with problems instead of, and that's why I like his brand message, is because he's coming, he wants to work with people when there is possibility. James is a great example, but I want to give you another one, because I was just talking to a prospect today. So this financial advisor is very, very heady, and he says to me, Matt, I want to launch a Facebook ad to 54,000 people. And I said, what are you talking about? How are you going to be different and unique to 54,000 people? And we started to break down, and of course I was using stuff that I've learned from you here to have him, you know, really narrow down that focus. And I said, here's the deal, man. You need to be that guy. Right. So when anybody retires from that organization, or when anybody works at that organization, you are the financial advisor to that demographic. And until you can wrap your brain around what that demographic needs to be and who you can be different, better, and relevant to, then you know what? You're throwing a lot of money away, people, and you're making your clients feel uncomfortable. I said this on the last podcast, and I'm sure I'll bring it up more and more, but I worked with an advisor office, Kirk, who at the end of the client meeting, they would have an open piece of paper, and they'd say, who are your three closest work associates? Who are your three closest church associates? You know, would you mind writing their name on this form and actively, you know, soliciting them for business for us? And I'm just thinking to myself, you know what, that just doesn't really – that comes across as being very salesy, and there are people who are that salesy, but – is that how they're going to build long-term relationships? Is that how you want to hook people and bring them in? Or do you want to, you know, after you've earned their trust, so not right out of the gate, you don't want to ask for referrals right out of the back, which is your number one. Number two, make it easy for them to refer. Number three, need to remind them that you are taking new business. Number four, that needs to be on their terms, which I also think is very powerful when it comes to social, Kirk, because on their terms doesn't just mean when they want to refer people, but you need to remind them when they are thinking about that stuff, right? Which is why the social campaigns and content creation is so important. And if you can't tell me what truly makes you unique and different, then you need to stop and you need to sit back and you need to say, okay, why am I a financial advisor? Maybe it was a story from the past. Maybe it was a specific technique that you use. I just got off the phone with another advisor who has an alternative to 1031 exchanges. It is truly unique. And when he's explaining it to people, they listen because he doesn't sound like everybody else. So you just went through seven, need to earn it. Need to make it easy, remind them, needs to be on their terms, need to be clear what will happen when somebody refers, needs to be clear value, and needs to be a clear POD, which is point of differentiation. Now, we talked about all of these ways that people aren't doing some of these things, which is important because we need to inspire them. But tell me now, because these are action-oriented podcasts, so how do I get more referrals?
So I've got four different ways here listed that'll really help you. And the first one is, you know, I've talked about it already, but I'll reiterate it here, is you got to have a great story or brand. If people don't feel like there's anything interesting about you when they get there, they're either going to leave or they're not going to talk about you in the first place. And a brand is not a vision or mission statement. It's who you are. It's what makes you it's what makes you great at your job. So it's based on your strengths. It's what you make. It's what makes you great at helping a certain audience. And when you can put those two together, you've got incredible amount of relevance, right? So you're different in that you focus on a target group based on your strengths, and you're better because you address their specific needs and you understand them better than other advisors. And then typically you're going to be way more relevant to that audience because of those things. And that's how you get there. But so you got to have a strong brand. The second thing is you've got to take that brand and articulate and showcase that, if you will, on a website. Your website has to be your brand. If you have a brand and who you think you are and how your office runs and the value you provide, and that doesn't translate on your website in a really bold and beautiful way, you've got a big problem. That doesn't mean that your website should just be some fancy tagline and then there's nothing to it. It's got to have tons of depth to it, and I'll get into that in a second. But you got to have a good website. And some of the template cookie cutter website providers that are out there, I find a couple of them are pretty good. We'll talk about those on another podcast, but find one and then leverage them the best you can to get what you need. And also, we'll talk about websites on other podcasts. There's all kinds of incredible stuff I can share with you there on how to make those better. So that's the second thing, better website. The third one is content. You've got to have content. It proves your brand. It gives people a place to refer to. And you got to have different types of content because one client might prefer videos. One client might prefer sharing your podcast. Or a guidebook or a paper. So my list of things for content is probably to start with a blog, then have papers, checklists. Guidebook is kind of like a in between a paper and a checklist. Maybe it's kind of got a bit of functionality. There might be some exercises or some questions you ask them, and maybe give them some space to actually write some stuff out. Those can be really powerful. Videos. You don't need to have a terribly sophisticated studio to do videos. I mean, I've got a brick wall in my office. I've got a couple of lights, and I just use my iPad. I got a stand and a holder for it, and I can just videotape myself, throw the lights on, and it's pretty darn good. If you've ever been to kirklow.com, you'll see a couple of them there. I mean, they're not, you can tell they're not high-end quality, but they're definitely professional, and it's not that hard to achieve that. To be honest, it's not even $1,000 worth of equipment. To get those course. I mean, you could shoot a bunch of videos, add some exercises, some guidebooks, papers, take all the stuff you're doing, create a course out of it, which is, that can be a neat thing to do for clients. Podcasts is another one. We talk about that all the time because we have our advisorcontentx.com podcast service. But podcasts can be pretty neat too. And podcasts are really cool because, just like they're mobile friendly, and more people are checking your website out and checking you out on their mobile device than they are your desktop. So podcasts are pretty friendly for that kind of thing. We're at the rink or you're at the swimming pool, dance class, mm-hmm. Commuting, whether you're driving, because when you're all those things, podcasting is pretty cool alternative or option for them.
Well, you have to create content that is in the medium in which people want to digest that content in the form or in the delivery system that they want, right? And I think that's really what you just hit on there. There are some people who love to read. There are other people who like to do checklists. There are other people who want to just watch videos. And then there are other people who really, on their morning commute, really just want to listen to something that's unique and different. They're tired of listening to, the news, which here in the States, I think pretty much everybody's tired of the news right now. But it's great. That can get them in the right mindset for their day. And if you're that person, that go-to person who's created these different mediums and putting it in front of people in a way that's so easy for them to digest, just like you said, like on your phone – man, you are so ahead of the game, and it's going to make referrals so much easier. But I know that's not it because you said you had four things. So we just talked about brand. We talked about better websites and content. What is the fourth?
The fourth one is nurture and influence. So what nurture is, they're on your radar now. You're connected with their email address, or you're connected through social media, or they're subscribed to your podcast feed or something like that, or your YouTube channel, whatever it might be. When you've got them in your circle of influence, you've got to be able to nurture them. So nurture might be an email sequence. So hey, if you download this, or you sign up for this, we're going to send you a series of four to eight emails that give you more information, just blow them away with, value, sincerity. Those have to be really, the more personable those are, the better. So you can do stuff. There's all kinds of email programs that can run that stuff. I mean, it could be as simple as MailChimp or AWeber, even those guys run them. Or if you get more sophisticated with stuff like Entreport or HubSpot, if you really want to dial up your marketing. But nurture sequences are really huge because those are automated. And when somebody shows some interest and you can react to it right away, that is highly valuable. That's fantastic marketing. And we all know that if we leave it up to you or me or us to call or to do a personal follow-up, it might not happen, because you guys are busy people. So putting that automated kind of, responders or nurture sequences in place are huge. And they don't have to be that sophisticated, to be quite honest. It's just, having somebody in your office take the time to do them or hiring a marketer to go do them for you. Social is the other one. You know, I think a lot of advisors fail at social media. They fail at understanding or seeing the potential results because they don't have enough content to share. If you start doing some of the stuff we talked about, you know, blogging, podcasting, videos, you know, checklists, papers, you're going to have a heck of a lot of content, you know, especially if you use our Advisor Content X service, because we'll create 40 pieces of content for you a month. But, you know, if you can share content 5 or 10 times a day, that's what I would call creating critical mass. You're not bugging people, because people are on there. Your stuff comes up. You're not interrupting them like you were. And 4 to 6, 5 to 10 times a day, they may only see you a couple times a week, given where they're on. So believe me, you got to be on social media a heck of a lot just to get noticed, but you want to be consistent with that. And where advisors fail is they don't have enough content to really make that happen, right?
Or they're putting out stuff that's written by other people that's not their voice, that's not their brand, that actually is confusing the big picture message.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, those are some really interesting places that you can start sharing stuff. And you know what? If you know people that are on other networks, go where they're hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a bad idea to ask all your clients in meetings or send out an email and say, hey, what social networks do you use, you know, every day, every week, every month? Or I don't even use them, you know, once a month. Mm-hmm. Just find out. And if there's places where you're congregating online with people like yourself, whether it's family or friends, colleagues, whatever, you know, let us know where it is. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty simple question to ask people, and you would know exactly where you want to be, because you want to be where they're hanging out. Right.
Well, absolutely. I was just talking to an office in Asheville, North Carolina yesterday, and he wants to specifically focus on this very specific female demographic, female college professors. And so we were interviewing some female college professors, and they're not on Facebook because their students are on Facebook. They're not on Instagram. They're not on YouTube. They're on Pinterest. Right. And so what we're working on right now is creating different memes and stuff that are visually based advertisements to be able to place on Pinterest that are going to get clicks throughs to his website and to his blog and that sort of stuff. You need to go where your clients are, Kirk. And that is such brilliant feedback and advice for everybody. If I want to work with 90-year-olds and I'm only on Twitter, I'm in the wrong spot, right? I mean, so you really do need to do some market research.
Absolutely. The neat thing about, you know, that the aging demographic and so many advisors saying, yeah, but most of my clients are over 70. I mean, that's changing fast. And if you're running a good practice, you know that you got to work with people, you know, likely, more than likely, who aren't just, you know, who aren't connected, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. So, you know, you've got to be thinking of these things. And it's not just what are you doing now. This is something I see all the time in it. And I don't think people value momentum like they should in marketing. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a good example. If we were helping somebody with a podcast, and let's say they were doing all the social media for them, and they only had 200 people that they were connected with, and they didn't have a budget to go do some attraction campaigns through, you know, Facebook advertising, stuff like that, or email marketing, whatever it may be. But over a course of a year, they said, you know what, we're going to kind of eat the fact that we don't have a big enough network. However, we're going to build momentum. That momentum is worth a lot. So what I mean by that is, if you start a podcast or you start a blog today, and you don't, but you never actually start getting anywhere with it for 13 months. When you get to the 13 month mark, if you hadn't been doing it, you're starting all over again. You have to start somewhere, and building momentum is one of the most important things in marketing. Because if you do the right thing, so if you have a bunch of podcasts that you do for 12 months, mm-hmm. in month 13, when somebody comes there, oh wow, he's been doing this for a year,
for a long time, absolutely,
and you're way better.
Yep.
And you might throw out the first 6 you do, you know, a year down the road. You're probably not if you're working with us, because we'll help bring the best out of you pretty quick. But, mm-hmm. you know, and momentum is huge. Being able to say, I've got a year or 2 years worth of articles on my blog, mm-hmm. and I've been socially sharing this stuff for years. I mean, it's massive, because if you think you're just going to all of a sudden have some, you know, hit some point in time where, okay, now my network's big enough, I'm going to start doing all kinds of marketing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. You got to start now. You can expedite it by having like ancillary, you know, traffic building things to attract more people or be a lot more intentional about asking people, hey, let's make sure we're connected all these ways. You know, all your clients, prospect centers, and influence stuff like that. But you need to start thinking about marketing as an opportunity to build momentum. And I think we should probably do a podcast on that soon.
Right. And I call it escape velocity. We talked about that last time. But, yeah. You know, when you're looking at a rocket on a launch pad, it sits there for a minute, even after the rockets have fired. That's exactly what marketing is. And I was just, again, talking to this gentleman earlier today with the 54,000, people that he wanted to market to on Facebook. He is starting at a stop. Right. So if he thinks that he's going to go from stopping to, you know, full sprint and in real traction quickly, he's just wrong. And in our first podcast, when we talked about marketing versus sales, I think that's one of the things that you and I really tried to tease out and explain to people was it takes patience. If you think you're going to start a marketing campaign and in 3 months you're going to get a whole bunch of leads, you're just wrong. Right. But if you think 6 months, now we're starting to get that, again, escape velocity, that momentum. You're becoming a juggernaut. You're creating so much good stuff. So when somebody does click on your website, when they're on their Facebook page or they're on your podcast site, they see that you have been contributing to thought leadership. And once somebody likes hearing you, they're going to, it's like binge watching on Netflix, right? People are going to binge listen or binge read a lot of your podcasts, blogs, videos, and those sorts of things. So you have to find a place to start. And personally, I think starting now is going to be the best thing for all of you to do, because if not, you're going to be behind the game. You're going to be behind everybody else who's jumping on board with real content creation. And considering that content marketing has been out in the general public for a long time, we in the financial services industry are quite behind on this. Don't be even further behind. You should probably take action sooner rather than later. Okay, Kirk, we're getting close to finishing up our time here today. So any parting words of wisdom?
I don't have any.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Start momentum. That's really it.
Momentum.
Yeah, just focus on that. Get out of your own way. Stop worrying about how fast you're going to get there. Just start doing it. Start producing content. Find a way that you can make it work, because that's really what referrals is about. Everything these days is about content marketing. You got to figure out how to share your insight, be seen as an expert. There's a ton of opportunity, but you got to start figuring it out. If you don't have time to write, you know, do a podcast. Yep. If you don't have time, if you don't think you're going to be any good at podcast, you know, try some, you know, you're going to probably have to blog there, mm-hmm. or write. So you got to figure out what you can do. Try to do a couple things, but start. Stop fretting about, you know, whether you're going to be, you know, the greatest podcaster in the world or not, or the greatest writer. Just start getting your stuff down.
There you go. Well, fantastic. So, Kirk, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, boss.
Yep. And for Top Advisor Marketing, I'm Matt Halloran.